If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
And welcome to episode 11 of How to Be Sound. It's actually really weird. In a way, I'm like, wow, 11 episodes is a lot. And then on the other hand, I'm like, well, the guys from Mother of Pod are now on 26 fucking episodes. And they started about the same time as me. And their episodes are excellent and worth checking out. Look at Mother of Pod. But I guess they haven't taken quite as many mental health breaks as I have. And I do think that if I had a buddy who I was tied to, like with arranged time. I mean, I do have a buddy. I have a producer. Thanks, Liam. Sorry. But if I had a co-presenter, maybe I would be bullied into doing it more often. Anyway, let me tell you about my day before we get started. So today I set my alarm for 6 a.m. because I thought to myself, this is it. My new life starting today. I do that quite a lot. So I went to bed at 10:30 and I did my whole nighttime routine, water spray, serum, moisturizer, more moisturizer, probiotics, vitamin B, antidepressant. It's a whole thing. And then my neighbor across the road, who I am hoping does not listen to my podcast. I mean, this, I really don't think she does because she's never said to me, wow, you do an amazing podcast. I don't think she listens to my podcast. So anyway, she starts having a massive fight over the phone with the takeaway that's just delivered her dinner. They had the audacity to deliver her chips instead of cheesy garlic bread. So she rings them up and she's like, listen, I'm after getting me order and I got chips. I don't even eat chips. I want me cheesy garlic bread. I make this order every second night, which she actually does at about 11 o'clock. I don't know how you could eat your dinner that late. So I eventually fall asleep about, I'd say, 25 minutes later. What was that, like 11, 11:15? But then I'm basically in a stress sleep. Like, I just kept waking up about every 35 minutes thinking my alarm was going to go off. My Fitbit told me that I got maybe 2 seconds deep sleep, which is way lower than the benchmark of, I don't know, 20 minutes. I should know this stuff. But the long story short is I did not go to the gym. So that's before we even get to the rest of my day. So my day, right? I have a heat rash, basically at the top of my thighs, where if I was a Barbie, my legs would articulate so that I could sit down. I have this heat rash there because I'm chubby and I perspire a lot and it's really fucking warm still, even though it's grey. And then I got thrush. I actually said this one day on midday that I used to get thrush a lot. I get it a lot when I'm stressed, get it when I've been on antibiotics. And I remember my friend saying to me, oh, you know, like such and such, a friend of hers, a man, of course, had texted her and gone, you know, Rosemary's talking about her. I think he basically said her STI on midday. And Emma was like, well, it's not really an STI. Anyway. And then today I got my period. So I have my heat rash. I have thrush. I'm bleeding. So that's very uncomfortable down there. And then I had this massive fight with my sister, which may or may not be related to having got my period. And the fight was basically about The Rock. If you want to know more about that, just tweet me. I'll tell you the whole thing. Cried in the office. Met my mom for lunch. Cried in front of her because I was like, I've just been crying. You know, you see your mom and she tries to give you a hug. And I'm like, get away from me. I've just been crying. And then I was crying anyway. Then I went back to the office and I immediately had stress-induced diarrhea. Do you think this is TMI? This is probably TMI. And I sweated profusely to the point where I had to like wipe myself down with hand towels. I was wet. It was just the grimmest series of events in my day. But I'm fine now. I survived. This is my personal version of if Britney could survive 2007, if I could survive this Wednesday, any of us can do anything. Now, before we get into it, the usual housekeeping, please leave me a review on iTunes. It really helps other people find the podcast and it actually just makes me feel a little bit good about myself and I really need that right now. If you like what I do, and work-wise, I've actually been doing a lot lately. I've been podcasting, I've been blogging, I've been doing more writing. And I mean, I'm doing a lot of that for me, but also for you. And if you like my work and you appreciate the time and effort that goes into creating it, not to mention the time and money my parents put into my education, then maybe consider giving me the price of a coffee or less or more once a month via Patreon. And listen, you can pay for it or you cannot pay for it. You can continue to read my stuff. You can continue to listen to my podcast. There is absolutely no obligation. It's entirely up to you, but patrons do get extra stuff. Just saying. You can read all about that at patreon.com/howtobesound. But now back to the podcast. I have a guest today who just happens to be the first guest I've had on How to Be Sound who I've never met before. Ain't that a thing? I'm breaking out of my bubble of people I know and trust and introducing strangers. And the first stranger in the studio is... Can we insert a drum roll here? Like a drum roll sound effect. It's Dublin R&B singer Erica Cody.
That was hilarious.
And before we get chatting, let's take a listen to Erica's latest track, Good Intentions, from her forthcoming EP, Lioness. Yes.
Take a minute, an hour, or a second. Let's have 7 minutes in heaven. I know the time is not great, but I swear it's worth the wait. Stay calm, take a deep breath. We're just taking baby steps, giving you quality and nothing more. Come on in and close the door. Thoughts talking in my mind. It happens every time you come closer to me. One on one with you is ecstasy. Oh, I love it, nothing more. It's always you for sure. Never leave my side. Forever my ride or die. I had good intentions, and then you made them bad. But you're not like me. I hope you understand. Oh, your love is like my drug. I can't ever get enough. You got my heart, you got my soul. Your bad intentions are in control. Drives me so goddamn well. Thoughts walking in my mind. It happens every time you come closer to me. One on one with you is ecstasy. I want love and nothing more. It's always you for sure. Never leave my side. Forever my time. I had good intentions, and then you made them bad. But you're not like me. You understand. Oh, your love is like my drug. I can't ever get enough. You got my heart, you got my soul. Your bad intentions are in control.
Erica, hello and welcome.
Hello. That was the best introduction ever.
How does it feel to be the first stranger?
Kind of cool, but kind of creepy at the same time. Yeah. I'm just joking now, it's deadly.
Well, like stranger danger.
Stranger danger.
There is that thing about like you could meet a tall, handsome stranger, but then also you could meet a tall stranger who murders you. So you never know, is it going to go well or is it going to go badly? As a woman, that's the line
we
tread. I'm sorry I got into that.
No, it's fine.
I usually do this icebreaker thing at the start of every episode, right?
Yeah.
Where I ask people where we first met.
Okay.
But we've obviously never met before.
So no, just on Instagram.
So we're just going to have to do an old-fashioned cold open. Okay. How are you?
Cool. I'm good, how are you?
I'm great.
Fantastic.
So I want to talk to you about music, right? Because I know that's kind of what you're here for. Like artists.
It's kind of what I do.
Yeah, like artists and their blatant self-promotion. But I did want to mention the moment that I first discovered you.
Right, okay.
Right.
This will be interesting.
I discovered Erica Cody, if I mentioned that. No, so I was following Louise McSharry on Instagram.
Right.
And she does a lot of Instagram storying and
love
generally
Louise.
Pretty funny. Yeah, she's great and sound. And she has a lot to say about fat activism and body positivity and the myths around parenting. Anyway, so she recommended people follow you because you had puppies. And I want you to tell me about these puppies. Whose puppies were they? Where are they now?
My mom has like a load of rescue dogs. So basically, she went away for a weekend. And then we only found out like probably a week before that that Coco was having the puppy. She's a Springer Spaniel. And then the other rescue, he's a... We're not really too sure what he is. But you know, he's quite... I'd say he's a pointer mixed with something like mad.
Just to point out, right, Erica made the like body language symbol you would make for like, if you were saying he's quite built.
Yeah.
She was like, we don't know what the dad is. He's quite like, and she kind of puffed up like she was trying to say he goes to the gym.
But we think he's a pointer or a pit bull springer. He definitely has a springer in him, but because he's like all Americans, everything. And then a week before, I was like, Mom, like, what's the story with Coco? She's getting very fat. She goes, no, she hasn't, has she? And I was like, no, like, she has. And if you know my mom from Instagram, like, you'll definitely know, like, her tone of voice, like, saying this. But just obviously, no, she wasn't. Like, don't be ridiculous. And I was like, no, like, she definitely is. And like me, I've always been into animals since I was like really, really young. Like, I always kind of helped out like local pet stores and wanted to be a vet when I was younger, had a horse, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, no, Mom, like, I know she's pregnant. And when it came to the dogs,
I can tell.
She always kind of knew I was right. And then I was like, no, Mom, there's definitely something cooking up in her belly, like, definitely. And then a week later, she's in the van because my mom's boyfriend, he goes up and down to Sligo a lot. They're coming back from Sligo. They're on the N2.
And she gave birth in the van.
So then I get a phone call at like 2 o'clock in the morning. Wait until you hear this. And he's like, so Erica, listen, I'm just in the van, just pulled in. She's had one pup already. Just want to know what's the story. And my neighbor's dog had puppies a couple of years ago. And I'm not squeamish. Like, this is the whole thing why I wanted to be a vet. I just didn't really have... not the brains, but like it would have taken a lot of dedication that I just didn't really.
My mom asked me the other day why I wasn't a vet because I love animals. Yeah. I was like, it just sounds like a lot of work.
It's a lot of work, and it's like I couldn't imagine like having to like operate in a dog or like have to put one down. It's just not, I just couldn't deal with that part of the job. But bringing new ones into the world, that's no bother. So then I went to my neighbor's house and delivered these puppies. They're all fantastic, all healthy. So when it came to my mom's dog having puppies, I was like, right. We've done this before. It's okay, Eric. Just come in with your game face on. Like, rolled around to the house at like two o'clock in the morning. She's just like in pup in the back of the van, deliver the puppies, all six of them. Absolutely perfect. Yeah.
The poor dog. It's not where you want to deliver your puppies.
Oh, no, sure. He.
You know what I mean? Like,
no. It was like something out of like a film made in New York. What's the name of that movie again with John Travolta and the talking baby?
Oh, Look Who's Talking Now.
It was like Look Who's Talking when she's like in the back of the taxi and she's like, oh my God, I'm going to have the baby. But it was like the dog version. And it was in like Bald Oil in the back of a van. This is so glam.
And so where are the puppies now? Do you find home, like nice homes for them?
So my mom, being my mom, she kept three of them. Aww. And then gave other three to her friends. Yeah.
You know, when I was like, this is such a bad story. I've actually had a lot of chats in therapy about my parents' terrible attitude to pets.
Yeah.
But when I was young, one of our dogs had puppies and she had six puppies.
Yeah.
And then my parents kept one of the puppies and got rid of the dog.
Oh my.
Yeah, because my mom was just like, I never really liked that dog. Yeah, so we kept one of the pups and got rid of the dog. Is that the worst thing ever?
Oh my God, yeah. That's awful.
So when we were like adopting out the pups, we're like, yeah, we have pups, you know, going to a good home and a female dog. That's and like...
And the
we were obviously... But like also, we were kids, like in my defense.
Yeah.
So you know, kids are just like, puppies are amazing. So
yeah,
we were just like, oh
my
God,
getting
to keep
a fresh
pup,
new
puppy.
One. Yeah, like yeah, that's great. Yeah.
Like Chip's boring. We're going to Chip.
Yeah. Oh my God, that's so sad.
I know, it's so desperate.
Yeah, her thing was like... We just didn't want to like give them away to anybody. It wasn't that kind of thing. Because like it wasn't planned, you know, and we just kind of had to roll with it. And then my mom
wasn't
had,
planned.
It wasn't planned. Jesus.
That whore.
That was enough to...
I love it. Like, listen, my mom went away for the weekend and the dog just went
had
mad.
Had a great time. Like,
you know what's so funny as well? I have a female dog. Now she's neutered. So or she's spayed. Like, so was it spayed?
Spayed, yeah.
So I don't know if this would be the case if she hadn't been spayed. But she literally will not let anyone near her.
Really?
I don't mean humans.
I haven't
tried hands. I have not.
When they're not spayed,
like
it's
other
a thing.
Dogs.
Because I have Buddy and Bowie are my two collie Dalmatians. And Buddy's neutered and Bowie's not spayed yet. She's only turned a year. But like when she came into like her first heat, she was like, oh, hello. Like, look at me.
Oh.
Hello, I'm ready. This kind of thing. And I was like, no, this is going to have to stop. No, not
I remember how horrified I was when Quillon had her first period.
Oh.
It was so gross.
I was like, can you not get like
I know, want to get her like a nappy.
Something.
I know.
Yeah, it's horrible. Oh.
Anyway, listen, on that delightful note.
The
back
worst.
To you.
Back to me.
Tell me a bit about you. You're a singer, right?
Yeah.
So tell me a bit about when did you decide you wanted to sing, not to be like Oprah.
God.
When did you decide you were a singer?
When did I open my lungs? It was pretty much like, I'd always kind of been doing the singing and dance thing since I was like a toddler. I started like doing stage school and stuff when I was like 3 or 4.
Were you in the Billy Barrys?
Yes.
Were you? Oh my God. I sometimes lie to people and tell them I'm in the Billy Barrys because I really wanted to be.
Yeah, I was always in the back line.
Oh, because you're so tall.
I wasn't that big of a baby though. I only started really growing when I was in like second year.
That sounds so defensive. I wasn't that big.
I wasn't a big baby. so I did the whole like Billy Barry thing and stuff when I was younger. I did that until I was about nine. Yeah, because I started getting into sports and like horse riding and all that kind of stuff as well. So I was like, I want to just kind of explore.
We had polar opposite childhoods. And I was like at home going, can I please just stay in and watch TV? And you're like... And I lived in the country. I was like, I don't want to go outside. I'm allergic to horses. And I was.
I would have loved to grow up in the country. It's just because, like, my mom and dad's side of the family are very sporty. So we were always, like, kind of out doing something. And my dad was a professional basketball player. So when I was younger, I used to always go to camps with him and stuff.
As well.
Yeah, that's where I got my height from.
Mm.
Yeah, he's like 6'5". Yeah.
That all makes sense.
It all makes sense now.
So tell me more about basketball, because you know what? Basketball was the one sport in secondary school that I had a vague interest in. I don't really know why. I think because there was something nice and comforting about bouncing the balls. No, like,
I think everybody at some point has been playing basketball in secondary school.
Yeah, no. But like, what I mean to say is I never played football in secondary school. Like, I never did. I got out of PE as much as I possibly could. Whereas basketball, yeah. I was like, maybe I'll try this. And I tried out for the basketball team and I didn't get it. I may have mentioned this in this podcast before because it really goes between me and my sleep that I'm like, they should have just put me on the fucking bench and let me come and do the training and encourage me. Because I was this like nerdy little bitch who was basically in the choir and otherwise studying all day. And finally I was like, maybe I'll try a sport. And I was iced out.
Sorry.
You, as well as being a singer and beautiful model, were actually accepted onto the basketball team. What was that like?
I didn't really have a choice. My dad I came out of the womb and my dad had a basketball in my hand. That's just how it works. He's like, my kids are going to play basketball, you know?
How many brothers and sisters do you have?
I have a half brother and a half sister.
And do they all play basketball?
Oh. My brother's 4 and my sister's 24.
Oh, your brother's 4?
But he still has a basketball net in the house, so...
Oh.
That's so funny.
Cute.
Yeah.
So when you were like, I mean, it's hard to say that you decided you want to be a singer.
Yeah.
Because it sounds like you were kind of performing a lot.
It was the thing. For me, it was, I had these two passions and one was basketball and one was music. But obviously I'd grown up singing and dancing and I loved doing that. And then I developed a new love for playing sport, like tennis and basketball, and then got into horse riding when I was about 10. So for me, I'd always been around basketball and singing. And then by the time... Like, just to make a long story short, like, by the time I was, like, 13, 14, I'd kind of started playing more competitively with basketball. But I'd still be at home, like, write my songs and stuff. Because when I was 10, my mom was diagnosed with cancer. So I used to keep, like, a journal. And then the journal kind of turned into poems and poems were turned into songs. And I got my first guitar. And I was like, oh, my God, like, you can, like, these things match. Like, lyrics and, like, guitar match. I was like, this is really cool. So I'd, like, teach myself chords. And that's kind of how I started to, like, really fall in love with it then. Like, I knew I could do it, but I didn't realise how much I'd actually had a passion for it. And then by the time I was, like, 16, 17, I'd really kind of taken it seriously. My mum and dad got me an iTouch for Christmas. And that's just kind of where I started, like, messing around with GarageBand and, like, started, like, making my own loops, like, made my first track on it, all that kind of stuff. And then I got kind of a producing bug for that as well. And then by the time I was, like, 18, I was playing, like, at a really high standard for basketball. Like, we train like 3 nights a week and then we'd have games on the weekend. So all around it was like 6 days a week that you'd be playing basketball. And with that, I was playing in college too. So that was Tuesday and Thursday nights.
Okay.
So then that was like 5 nights a week and then away to whatever county it was at the weekend. So it was like a big, big commitment and I absolutely adored it. That's why I kept playing for so long.
You said that you were training at a really high level in Ireland. So what does that look like? Is that like a club? Is it county?
Yeah, it was a club. So basically, like, you have like your club and then through your club. The basketball scene is like very small in Ireland. Like, everybody knows each other. In the country, it's real.
Mm-hmm.
The basketball circle in itself around the country, everybody knows each other. Pretty much. So,
Makes sense. When
you're like on the road and you're going to like Cork, Limerick, Galway, blah, 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 wherever you're going, you're always meeting people from that are doing something that you're also interested in. So, you want to talk to them. But in terms of training, and what was that you were saying? Sorry, I just totally brain farted.
I was just saying, what's it like? So, like, you know, you said you were playing at a high level. Is that kind of going?
Sorry.
like we're like, is that competitive just within Ireland, or is it a competitive in Europe, or is it going to the States?
Well, you can do whatever you want. Like, so when you're in a club, it's competitive, you know, and then you can go to trials for like the Irish team, the Dublin team, whatever. And then if you want to go to college in the States or school in the States, that's what a lot of people do. Well, most people anyway, that really are interested in that and really want to take it seriously, they might do a year in prep school or whatever over in prep the school. States. Prep school.
For like prep for basketball?
Prep for college.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. So you can do that if you want to do it too. That's why I was saying, like, I had the option to go to college in the States and do a degree and all that kind of stuff as well. But it just wasn't, I didn't want to put that pressure on myself either to kind of like do really well in my Leaving Cert to go to America.
Was your dad disappointed? Do you think?
Yeah, definitely. Aww. Yeah, defo. Like, still to this day, he's like, oh, I think you should went to America. But I'm like, but dad, like, look at me now. I'm having so much fun doing music. Like,
too late now, dad.
Yeah, it's like, no. Time's gone. And then when I was in my second year of college, so I would have been about 18, 19, I like tore my ACL and I was like, okay. And I was still juggling the two at the time, you know? So then I was like, that's kind of my body just like being like, you know what, you need to just slow down and kind of pick what you want to be doing. So I was like, okay, I just put all my energy into music because I knew it was going to be like a really long road to recovery. Because it was like a year long recovery, like from the operation to the rehab, everything. It was really, really grueling. And I was like, I don't even know if I have the confidence to go back straight away. And it was just a lot. So I was like, no, I'm going to just like solely focus on music now. Play college in my last year. And then,
was that recently that you tore your ACL?
It was 2 years ago now.
Okay. Yeah. Because I think when I first started following you, you were on you were on crutches, weren't you?
Oh my God, yeah.
I think probably like a year and
around
a half ago.
It must have been like I'd put up like the year mark or something of it, and I think that might have been like that.
Yeah. When you decided then that you were going to say, this is what you're going to do, did you face any resistance? Because like, I've mentioned this to you before, but my sister is a designer. And I remember when she went to do art, loads of people were like, what are you doing that for? It's such a waste. You should have something to fall back on, do something practical. Did you get that?
Oh, totally. People are like, oh, so like, what can you do with that? I think when you're telling somebody you're going to college, because I went to BIM, so it was just a performance-based college and you'd learned the ins and outs of the industry.
You went to where?
BIM.
What's BIM?
BIM is the music college in Dublin.
Oh, yeah. God, I didn't even know there was a music college. What does
BIM stand
for?
It used to stand for Brighton Institute of Modern Music, but now it's British and Irish Institute of Modern Music.
Oh.
Yeah. So we get our degrees through DIT. So I technically went to DIT. So I have my scholarship and stuff with DIT. So going to BIM, it was like this new course. Like it's not that I wasn't extremely academic in school, but it was like I always excelled in things that I was interested in. So for the likes of doing music in school, that was something that I'd always do well in, opposed to like doing maths or some crap like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So for me, I basically had like two cards on the table. It was either go to America and play basketball or stay in Ireland and do a degree that you really like and keep doing music and doing what you love instead of doing a degree abroad that you don't really enjoy and then having to kind of give everything that you have and put it into sport. And I wasn't ready to make that commitment, but I was ready to make the commitment for music, you know. And
the guy I know has gone to the States to do football on a scholarship.
Exactly.
And
it's
so hard. It's so competitive.
Yeah, it's
a
lot.
You know, you could be amazing here and then all of a sudden you're just one of thousands of amazing people there.
Totally. So I was like, I was being like logical about it as well. I was like, no, I want to enjoy myself. Like, college is meant to kind of be the best time of my youth.
So they say.
Was
it?
It was. It really was.
So far.
Well, I managed to bag my degree somehow, so I don't know how I did that, but I got it done. So like, obviously going to BIM, it was only around for like three.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
For 4 years, it was a new course and I was doing my leave insert and I was like, oh, this course is perfect for me. It's really, really modern. It's because I didn't want to study kind of like the ins and outs of theory and all that kind of stuff. I wanted to get more like into the music industry side and really know the ins and outs of it. So I went into BIM, got in, spent my 4 years there. But I think when I was first going, they were like, oh, so like what's BIM? Obviously, because it was new and you'd have to explain it to everyone. Like, I'm going to class, you know, I'm going to college. It's like, it's going to be this big, great thing.
Was it like, was it just like Fame?
Everybody says that. Everybody that I have said BIM to is like, oh my God, it's like Fame. You just see like people like dancing, singing in the corridors. No.
Did you watch that show? There was a show on YouTube. Oh my God, it was called Step Up High Water. It's part of the Step Up franchise. Is it one of the franchise. Step Up?
I yeah, kind of stopped watching after Shannon Tatum. I was like, I'm over it.
Oh yeah, well yeah. But this is a series and it has, you know, your one Jade Chanout. She's like a really big hip hop dancer on, like she's really big on Instagram.
Okay.
But she stars in it. So it's like a It's a YouTube Red series. I spent a lot of money watching that. It was worth it. Go on.
Oh, amazing. Yeah, so it was just kind of like trying to explain to people that like, they were like, oh, so like what do you do out of your degree? And it's like, everyone wants to know what you're going to do after college. It's like this big thing apparently. And I was like, hey.
Well, Irish people are very focused on that.
Yeah, very focused. And I was like, listen, I'm just riding the wave. Like I'm going to go to college, enjoy myself, build my career while I'm in college, do whatever I have to do to kind of make it work. Because while you're in there, you have to make the most of what you're doing while you're in there. Otherwise, I feel that's how you get the most out of it.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm going to put in so I can get more out of it. And I did, so.
So you mentioned there that there was a lot of focus on the industry, right? So I want to do a, like, for dumbasses like me, like, not to be a total ignoramus.
Okay,
but, like, to me now, the music world is kind of mysterious. Like, I feel like when the Spice Girls were around, right? Which is, like, what, 20 years ago or something?
Like 22.
We all were like, oh, people get six-figure deals. Like, if you're going to make it, you get a six-figure deal, right? And then you make it. Whereas now, with streaming sites, it's easier to get your music out there.
So
but
different.
How do you make money?
It's, so like, through the likes of streaming and then it's hard to like say now, like my main kind of source of income would be from like doing shows and festivals and streaming at times. But it's like you don't know when you're getting paid from streaming, if it makes sense, because these things are delayed. And I have other jobs as well, like in terms of like modeling and stuff. So that kind of keeps me going. And then I have a part time job, too. So I'm juggling like a lot just to kind of put it back into music so I can kind of be where I want to be. But it's different for everybody. Like a lot of people would make a lot of money off streaming because if you're getting like in the millions, like you're sorted, you know. But yeah, no, it's different because like a lot of people sing and a lot of people model. A lot of people like to kind of be a bit of a triple threat doing like the singing, acting, modeling thing, you know. So, but
yeah, good looking people.
Sorry,
bastards. It's so nice to be a brilliant singer and be really good looking and tall and slim. And then you can act as well if you want. You know, you can just do whatever you want. It's brilliant.
Oh, I love this. Brilliant. This is so fun.
but so do you have a record deal? Do you have to have a record deal now?
Not necessarily. You know what I mean? There's a lot of like, I'm totally independent at the moment. It's literally just me and my manager that do everything. At some point, it would be nice to have the support of a label, you know? But it's totally doable by yourself. It just takes a lot of hard work and like a lot of dedication and a lot of like, you know, self-belief. I know it sounds so corny, but like it's just so true because you're going to be like put down so many times and feeling like you're not progressing when you really are. And it's all about patience and timing. So
people can talk about the rewards of doing it for yourself and doing something you're passionate about. But if you're not making money, basically, it can be really hard to keep driven and keep going. It can be really
hard because like you literally just, I spent months and months working on my EP, just putting everything that came into my account straight back into whether it was mixing, mastering, producing, everything, you know, and you'd spend your last penny on it to make it work because you really believe in it. But in terms of what you were saying, which was
money
kind of and deals and stuff, it doesn't really work like that anymore. It's not kind of like, we're like, oh my God, the next best thing, throw like $1 million at them. It's not really like that anymore. Yeah, because a lot of that would have kind of went into like the making of the artist, like when it came to like their brand and blah, blah, blah. But like nowadays, because of the music industry is just something that's constantly growing and constantly evolving. So it's like, there's always going to be somebody. So you need to come ready with your ethos, your brand, your everything from music to...
Also, I think because of social media, it's almost like you 100%. Start to build your brand before you have a deal, before you have a manager.
Totally.
So like, say if you got signed now by, what's like Simon Fuller, right, back in the day.
Yeah.
And he suddenly went, okay, we want you to look like this. You'd be like, no.
Because this is me. Yeah.
This is me. And I'm already on Instagram and I'm already here and I already have photos.
Yeah, and social media as well. It just plays a huge part in that. Like, it really does. Just in... for like people to, for you to be able to get your music out to an audience that's just like literally right there, it does play a really important role.
Yeah.
You know?
And like, do you get, I mean, social media, I guess, for an artist or for any kind of creative can be handy because you can get a lot of feedback.
Yeah.
But do you get people going, you know what, I like this, but I don't like this? Or are people kind of nice? You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's weird, like, because I don't have like a huge, huge following, but it's like, I'd never, not now I haven't faced like a lot of criticism online. Yeah. I don't know, it's really weird because like I would have been like really heavily bullied like when I was like in primary school and stuff. So for me, like putting myself out on Instagram and stuff was really kind of like, oh shit, what if somebody doesn't like what I'm saying? Or I'd be real conscious of it. And then I just kind of grew thick skin and I was like, you know what? If someone doesn't like it, they don't like it, it's not my problem. Like, yeah, everyone has their own taste.
I think sometimes being bullied at school as well, when you get a bit older, you're like,
yeah,
nothing is ever going to be as bad as that was.
Totally, because you know, like, when I was 10. If they could say that to my face, I really don't care what someone says behind a computer screen. So to me, it would, like, I haven't faced it online yet. I probably will at some point, but it's I've kind of just learned to kind of let things like that go over my head and not pay too much attention.
But I think as a musician as well, probably when you really start to get the backlash is when you're like, I fucking made it.
Yeah,
do you
know
what I mean? That you're like, these people are pissed off. I'm famous now.
Yeah.
Like, this is deadly.
I'm like a big deal now.
Yeah, I'm really important. I feel like at the moment with kind of you, with Soleil, with Mona, whose surname I'm going to mispronounce. Is it like Mona Lisa, or Mona like...
Mona Lisa, yeah.
Because isn't it LSXA or something?
It's LXSA.
LXSA.
Mona Lisa. So like the X like stands for like an I.
Oh, okay.
You know how some people like to put like an upside down V as like an A?
As an A. But like, it feels like a good time to be an R&B artist in Ireland.
Yeah.
But is that true? Like, do you feel like it's a good time, or is it just more competitive?
Great, because like there is an eye on the scene over here now, especially like with the likes of Spotify backing us, like making all these playlists. It's fantastic. Like,
yeah.
And I wouldn't even say it's like really competitive. Everyone's just happy to see everyone doing their thing and getting credit for it. You know, it's not kind of like a couple of years ago, like 15 years ago, maybe. It's not like, oh, well, he's getting there. No, I'm getting there before him. It's not really like that anymore. It's more of... It kind of has more of a community feel to it, and it's really, I think everyone's just kind of wants to see everyone getting the best out of what they possibly can.
Shine theory.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing. So there's another podcast I listen to called Call Your Girlfriend, and they have this whole theory that like, you shine, I shine.
Right.
So like the more you shine, the more I can shine.
Yeah, but like if I'm putting my energy into, like if I'm putting bad energy into somebody else's career, I'm like, what kind of good is that going to do you, and what kind of good is that going to do me? We're just wasting our time.
But I mean, it is also different now, because it's kind of like the harder you work and the better you are, the more chance you have of being successful. Whereas 30 years ago, there would have been one R&B artist in Ireland that people were putting money behind. Do you know what I mean?
Totally.
Whereas now it's like, well, you can do it yourself.
Yeah,
if you're good, you can put the time and effort in, you can get somewhere.
When you're willing to make that, like put in the dedication and the hard work at the time, like you're ready for it, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's not easy. Like we've all been there and done those shitty little gigs that like 10 people have come to and your band fuck up or whatever. We've all been there, you know, whatever the case may be. So... when you see yourself back then and then the growth, it makes it so much worthwhile.
My one of those moments, I entered a Eurostar style competition in college.
Okay.
And I sang Walking in Memphis, not the Cher version, but the Mark Cohn version.
Okay.
And there was a sound issue. So like we couldn't start and the mics broke. And I was standing there for about 5 minutes. And then one of the guys was like, why don't you tell a joke? So I was like, okay. So I told a few jokes, or I just started telling like funny stories. And then I sang. And then afterwards they basically said, have you ever thought about stand up? Because that was better.
So awful. So bad.
But after that, I was
just like, trying to picture this like whole thing happened. I can just like picture you on the stage, like waiting, like with the mic, and
being like, well,
what's going on?
I'll tell you some stories. Yeah, it was terrible. Music to me seems to be one of the last industries, right, where you have a narrow field. So say, for example, if you're an author, right, and your first book is about kids, your second book can be about romance. Whereas when you're a musician, if you come out as a pop star, it's really hard to change over. And do you feel like...
It's like Disney kids.
Yeah.
Well, kind of. Like, yes and no.
But I mean, so like looking at you, because you're mixed race, do you feel like you're kind of pigeonholed into doing R&B? Have you ever thought, like, I'm going to do country? I'm going to do hard rock?
I used to... love country music when I was a kid. Like Dolly Parton and Johnny Cash were like my idols. I went through just this phase of like listening to country music all the time. Swear to God, I listened to everything, because like my dad's American, my mom's Irish. Where they met in the middle was hip hop and R&B. So that's kind of what I was raised
hip-hop
on.
Hip-hop and R&B is not the middle of America and Ireland.
I know, but that's... Because obviously, like, back in the day, like, that's what my mom was, like, listening to, like, the likes of Foxy Brown, Queen Latifah, like, Aaliyah, like, all
oh,
them.
Oh, your mom is much younger than my mom. I'm like, because you said my mom was listening to, I was like, the Beatles, maybe.
The Beatles.
Yeah.
No, that would have been more kind of like... So my mom...
I was fucking listening to Aaliyah. What age is your mom?
She's 47. God. 46. Oh, she's going to kill me. 46 or 47. But anyway, she's great.
Could you say she's in her 40s?
Youth fountain.
She's very, very young. Very youthful.
Fountain of youth. But like she was listening to like Lil' Kim and all them ones. And then my dad was listening to the same thing. So that's kind of where they met in the middle. That was their thing. That's what they really enjoyed listening to. Like, none of them sang, but they were just really into music. But then my mom, like, my dad liked a load of funk. He liked a load of, I wouldn't say he listened to jazz and stuff, but he liked, like, him and my mom also liked, like, Sade, Erykah Badu, like, all those kind of, like, Indiarie, all of them. So I would have grown up listening to a hell of a lot of that. That's why I feel like I'm so influenced by it now, and it just comes, like, naturally to my music.
Yeah.
But
they all do make a lot of sense when you think about sounds from your music. Like,
yeah, totally. Yeah, defo. But like, I appreciate. I appreciate music. You know, yeah. So I'd love to like have a body of work that was just totally different to R&B. And like, I trained as a vocalist for 4 years as well. Like, I'm not just pigeonholed into one genre. I don't just do one genre. Like, I am a vocalist. I can sing many genres.
But it is funny with music that I feel like
they do try and like. Keep you there, you know?
Yeah, but I mean, even when, not Erykah Badu, when Lady Gaga did her country album, it wasn't very well received, even though it was brilliant.
I know, it was fantastic. And she is like, honestly, one of the vocalists I look up to most as a vocalist, because she can just do anything.
Yeah.
Like, she really is so fantastic. And I feel like, she's a bit underrated for that, but I don't think people appreciate it as much as...
No, I think when you're a female pop artist, and you could probably say the same about Christina Aguilera, that people just think you're a pop artist and they don't realize that actually these are incredible, like
singers.
Incredible vocalists.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas somebody like Whitney Houston does get more respected as a vocalist. And I wonder if that's more about race as well. That we think like white girls are Britney.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know.
Whereas...
It's a tough one. It actually is a tough one.
I really want to see the Whitney documentary, actually, although maybe I don't.
Which one? Because there was one I watched on TLC.
I watched the one on Netflix.
Okay. Oh,
I think that's
might be
the same one that was on TLC. And then now there's a new one that's in the cinema at the moment.
I love Whitney.
And it's so sad. I feel really sad about her girlfriend.
What do you mean her girlfriend?
You know the whole thing about how she had a girlfriend?
No.
So like, well, the whole rumours were that she was bi and that she was going out with her best female friend for years and that they were in a relationship.
Way.
And that then when she got with Bobby Brown... This woman, I can't remember her name, and then that feels really disrespectful because she was with her for her whole life.
Yeah.
But she was around the whole time, and they had loads of conflicts then about her relationship with Bobby Brown, her relationship with her alleged girlfriend. And I think in the documentary I watched, either her mom or her aunt were like, they were in a, you know, that they were very much in love. And speaking of Whitney, speaking of race, there was a little bit of noise this week on social media. And like, when I say a bit of noise, I probably mean in media circles. So, you know, sometimes you're like, this is a really big deal. And then you realize it's only the five people you're following are talking about it.
Yeah.
But there was a bit of noise this week on social media about representation in Irish media. And somebody I follow picked
I
up a whole stack
on this,
of magazines and was like, why is everybody white? Everybody's slim. Everybody's able-bodied. Is that something that ever, like, do you think about that?
Not really, because I'm... too focused on kind of what I'm doing, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? I'm not saying that in like a, like, what's the word for it? I'm just not saying that in like a bad way.
No.
It's just because I'm so like, I try not to worry about things like that. But I totally get it. Like a lot. I think especially like when I was younger, because that's all I would see on magazines. And I'm like, oh, but like, where's the girls with the afro that like, that look like me?
But I mean, even now, like that's a big thing, that even though you might see women of color, you might see mixed race women, you might see black women, you very rarely see natural hair.
Very rarely. It took me so long to even embrace that I had curly hair, because like, from being like so heavily bullied and stuff in primary school, I'd come home and I'd be like, no mom, I want white skin, I don't want a runny, I want stray hair, I just want to look normal.
I don't want a runny.
Like, it's so bad.
Erica.
Oh, you've no idea. It got to the point, like one day in school, they're like, oh look, just stupid like mustache and all, you look like a monkey, blah blah blah, like same shit different day. I went home and I was like, I've had enough, and I was so dramatic. I was like, I've had enough, and I just went into the bathroom. And I got my mom's razor and I literally only did like the middle part.
Oh, God.
And she came and she was like, what are you doing? And I was like, I've just had enough, mom. And I just had like this big breakdown in the bathroom. And I was like, I just can't cope. It's just, life is just terrible to Ronnie. It just needs to go.
What age were you?
I was like, I was like, after my communion.
Oh, God.
Yeah, she goes, Erica, you're going to bring the Ronnies back. This is my mom trying to be like, do you know what? Embrace it. Like, you're going to bring the Ronnies back. They're going to be amazing. But no one's going to care about that. Like, that little Ronnie. It's great. Like, you embrace. And she was always trying to be like, no, embrace it. It's part of your body. You don't need to get rid of anything to look a certain way or please anyone. So then even when it came to my hair, I'd constantly have people just like touching my hair in school and just being curious and all this kind of like all that shite as well. And I was like, you know what? When I got to about 15, 16, I'd actually stop wearing my hair up in a ponytail or in braids and I'd just have it out. And then I started to notice that like, oh, people are like, oh my God, your hair is so cool. And I was like, oh, what? Really? Like, is that? It was totally alien to me. So yeah, like now in my 20s, when I hear people come up to me in the street or go past me on their bike and touch my hair, I take real offence to it. I'm like, it's not
okay. Well,
that
is really offensive.
It's really offensive. Or if so, like, do you know what I mean? It's just a constant, it's just a never ending
like,
story with the
well,
hair.
Like anybody who reaches out and touches you as if you're a fucking display in a
But touches
museum.
You in general.
Do you know what I mean?
Don't touch
like,
anybody in general without their permission. You know, that's my thing. But it's the initial like, oh, where are you from? And then I'm like, I'm from Dublin. And they're like, I know that, but like, where are you really from? And I'm like, I'm from the north side. This happened to me in work before, by the way. I was like, felt my jeans, doing my thing, I work in retail. And she came to me and she was like, God, you're gorgeous, aren't you? And I was like, oh, thanks. Like, that's a lovely thing to say to someone. She was like, where are you from? And I was like, I'm from Dublin. And she was like, ah, oh, yeah, you're lovely. Like, but where are you really from? And I was like, I'm from North Dublin. And then she said again, and I was like, I was literally just born in the rotunda around the corner. Like, yeah. I was so done. Because it's literally every single day. So yeah. I was like, oh, where are you really from? And I'm like, oh my God. Like, why do I even have to explain?
But like, you'd almost feel like saying to people, are you trying to find out exactly
like
what racist my parents are?
Yeah,
because
exactly.
I
prefer
can
if you just
that.
Ask that instead of being like, oh, so like, where you're like, where exactly are you from? Like, and it's like,
fucking
we'd
rude.
Be sitting here for hours if I was to tell you that.
I have a friend who is white and has like, it's probably not technically a fro because texture wise, but she has like incredibly curly black hair. And similarly,
she still gets shit for her hair as well.
She gets it all the time. And she was in a shop one day and this one went, where are you from? And she went, I'm from Manchester. And your one went, no, where are you really from? And she goes, no, I'm from Manchester. And she goes, no, you have other countries in you.
I know.
And she was
ridiculous.
Like, do you mean like, what?
Just because I have curly hair?
Yeah.
Makes no. And then she was like to me, oh my God, she was like, and your tan's gorgeous. Where'd you get that? I was
oh my
like,
God.
Are you actually going to ask me if one of my friends went through, she's mixed race as well, she went through a phase. She was like, you know what? I'm just going to try this tan thing out. And she got like, you know, the tinted cocoa butter. Because like, we always use cocoa butter. And she was like, I'm just going to get, it's cocoa butter. Like, it's fine. I can just try it. And she went around and we were playing basketball at the time as well. And she'd have like, she'd be glowing on the court. We're like, Jesus, what happened to her? Like, so she was like a different person.
And like, did it look nice or was it a weird colour?
No, it looked nice. She was like really, really bronzed and shimmery. I was like, Christ, Katie.
Because I actually saw another woman I know who actually I keep meaning to have on the podcast and I must have on the podcast. Her name is Nadine and she works in Preen.
Okay.
And she's black. She's from the UK. And I saw a thing on her Instagram recently where she was like, I've got fake tan on. Yes, girls, fake tan. She's like, it gives me such a nice glow.
Yeah.
And I really want to talk to her about it. Because I really want to know, like, I mean, fine if she just was like, you know what, like, I want to try a fake tan. But, like, did somebody suggest that to her?
No.
That'd be even weirder.
She went through kind of, I wouldn't say even a rebellious stage. She just wanted to, like, try out new things. She was I'm just going to try it out and see what all the fuss is about. And I was like, you don't need to, you're
surely,
black.
Yeah, surely that's the main advantage. Like, you don't need to smell like
her thing was like,
ever.
But no, I can still try it, you know? So we're like, okay, go ahead with your bad self, do your thing. Yeah.
So what's coming up for you? You just did Longitude, didn't you?
Yeah, I did Longitude last weekend.
So what's next? What's coming up now?
Independence. Just the EP. We're taking our time with it. We've like totally kind of regrouped and we're just going to come out with something really cool. Really soon. Take my time. I'm not going to rush it. So it'll be out when it's out. We're
That's
just working very,
very
hard
Azalea
on it
Banks
now.
Of you.
Really?
Yeah, so don't do anything mad in the meantime. Do you remember she brought out a song and it was really like all this hype? She brought out 212.
Yes.
And I think there was all this hype about her EP and when's it going to be out? When's it going to be out? When's it going to be out? And then she turned into a massive bigot on Twitter and then nobody loves her anymore. So don't do that.
I definitely won't be pulling on Azealia Banks, that's for sure. But yeah, that's pretty much it. Just shows, riding, the rest of the festival season, and then
working.
Working, twerking, doing my bits.
And do you like doing festivals or like...
Love festival season, because last year I took kind of last year to kind of get myself ready for this year. So like in terms of like my brand and like just everything music, I wanted to like be ready to go to like be producing all the kind of stuff for this year to work on for the EP. So I wasn't really doing festivals and stuff last year. I did Electro Picnic with RTE and we did the hip hop gig. And then we did it last weekend at Longitude. So it's nice doing my own sets now.
Yeah.
And being so sure on my set now for this festival season. And it totally being my own. So it's really cool. And it'll, from here, I just hope it'll get bigger and better. And we can keep growing all as a team as well. So
yeah. And the artist areas are always nicer than the punters areas as well, aren't they?
Yeah.
Get a nicer lose.
Yeah. I couldn't cope. I literally, at Longitude, I went out. I don't even think I was in the main area once.
I was like to where the people
are. I just felt like I was like babysitting.
Oh, well.
The crowd was so... Nothing against a young crowd now. But it was just out of control.
No, it was just, I mean, like, I saw people going to Longitude.
Coming out in
town.
Stretchers and, oh, it was mental. I was like, and we were driving up in the bus and I was like, guys, what is going on? I was like, the festival hasn't even started yet and there's people getting carried out.
I saw actually Louise McSharry went, I think maybe she got on the Dublin bus or something. Yeah. And she was like Instagram story going, I'm too old for this bus. It's like, what is going on?
Like, I felt old and I'm not even 22 yet.
Oh my God, you're such a baby. Next week, yeah, no wonder your mom listened to Aaliyah. I could, like, well, I'm not going to say. I was like, I could be your mom, but I couldn't. Erica, thank you so much for coming
thank
in to talk to me.
Thank you for having me.
Well, that so, where, so can people, where can people follow your work and find out what you're up to? And
I'm all over Instagram. Don't really use Snapchat that much either, but like, you can still add me if you want.
Is it
it's all at Erica Cody, yeah, so okay. E-R-I-C-A-C-O-D-Y. And Twitter.
Do you do Twitter?
Yeah, do Twitter.
Do you tweet?
Yeah, love to tweet. I just tweet random shit, though.
Well, yeah.
Sorry, am I even allowed to curse on this?
Yeah.
Cool.
I said fucking about line three, so don't worry about it. Okay, brilliant. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Maybe we'll have you on again next year when you're...
That'd be fantastic. I love podcasts.
Well, actually, like, I actually should start saying that to people, that like, if you're massive next year, you still have to come back.
To be. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, obviously. Okay, I tell you what. You need more dogs, though.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Thanks so much. I might even bring my own.
And thank you all for listening to How to Be Sound. The show is produced by Liam Geraghty, whose own podcast, Meet Your Maker, is a New York Radio Awards nominated piece of genius, and whose love story to the Muppets is currently streaming on RTE's Drive Time podcast. You'll find that at rte.ie, should you be that way inclined. And lastly, if you are a patron of How to Be Sound at the $3.33 or more level, you get your name read out on each and every episode of the show. So without further ado, thank you to James Gallagher, Avril Flynn, Timmy Hennessy, Sarah Conroy, Kira McGuinness, Eleanor Farrell, Heidi Gardner, Sarah Hanrahan, Maureena Hogan, Aisling Dollard, Sinead Feegan, Breed Gallagher, Sonia Mary, Michelle Barrett, Sarah McCann, Anya Kelly, Sarah O'Donovan, Claire Gormley, Roisin Blade, Louise White, Carly Colgan Bates, Aoife Connolly, Owen Dye, Dervla Kinsella, Eving McBride, Niamh Ní Gabhán, Aoife Bradley, Katie Joy, Sharon Lennon, Claire Hegarty, Trish O'Sullivan, Shauna O'Hara, Katrina Kennelly, Sharon, Marita Leonard, Aoife Campbell, Kira Norton, Stephen Harding, Siobhan O'Rourke, Beatrice McCabe, Karen Cregan, and Dina Walker. And I will catch you in a fortnight for another lesson in How to Be Sound.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.